Now we're looking again at Romans. Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans, the fifth chapter. I would be so bold as to say Romans chapter 5 is one of the most important chapters, certainly in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. It teaches a very fundamental truth that God teaches every believer whom He teaches the gospel of Christ. In Romans chapter 5, we'll begin at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, in whom all have sinned. All have sinned in that one man. That one man we know is Adam, when he sinned against God. Now these verses are vital, essential to a right and proper and good understanding of the gospel of Christ. We see two things that are essential. We see and learn how we are made to be sinners. How are we made sinners? We are sinners by birth, nature, practice, and choice. We are sinners. We see how we were made to be sinners. In Adam, all sin. The second lesson that we learn, we see how sinners are made righteous. How are sinners made righteous? Well, we've been over the ground several times. We're not made righteous by the deeds of the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, if righteousness comes by the law, if righteousness comes by what I do or do not do, no need for Christ to come, no need for Christ to die to put away my sins. If righteousness is by my obedience unto the law, I don't need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we learn here, in Adam we have all sinned. Romans 3:23 declares, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you, that includes me, that includes every son of Adam. Secondly, we learn in Christ how we are made righteous, as I mentioned a moment ago. Look at verse 19. Romans 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. There we see Adam's disobedience, and there we see the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. By His disobedience we were made sinners. By the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. His obedience was perfect obedience. Word, deed, thought, motive, always to the glory of God. So much so that God the Father speaks from heaven concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. In Adam, we lost the way, the truth, and the life, right? In Adam, we lost the way, the truth, and the life. In the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. We have in Christ much more than we ever lost. In Christ, the way of grace is established, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, the truth of God is magnified. You remember the Lord came and honored the law of God for us? He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In Christ, the life of salvation is freely given. God, who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He that hath the Son hath life. We learn in these verses what happened in the garden. That is, what happened when Adam fell, when Adam sinned against God. We know that sin entered in. We know that judgment because of sin entered in. We know that guilt entered in. And all men everywhere became totally depraved. Total depravity. Now, we don't believe in a partial fall or a partial ruin. The Scriptures teach a total ruin and a total fall. Now, this is key to understanding the gospel. If you have no conception of ruin, total depravity, you'll have no great appreciation for redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't understand something of guilt, total guilt and condemnation, you'll have no great appreciation for the grace of God that justifies the ungodly. We learn here also in the Lord Jesus Christ how we are restored. We learn and we see what happened in the garden. We also learn and see what happened at Calvary. By one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Remember Philippians chapter 3 or Philippians chapter 2? By the obedience, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was obedient unto death. We also learn what happened at Calvary when Christ died for the sin of his people. Righteousness was established, sin was put away, and sinners were forever justified by the blood of Christ. Look at verse 9 of Romans 5. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's the only way we are justified, by what Christ has done for us. We also learn that God deals with all men in two representative heads. Now, this is what we read in these verses. Two representative heads. The old theologians called Adam and Christ, you remember the term, federal heads. Federal heads. Adam represented a race, his race, and the Lord Jesus Christ represented his people. Federal heads. In Adam, all died. In Christ shall all be made alive. Now, the reference there is to 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. And we'll read that later on in the lesson if we get that far. Now, with that introduction, let's take a look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by the one man, sin entered in to this world. One man, one sin, one offense. Sin entered in to the world. Now, someone rightly said, if you're wrong on the fall, what happened in the garden, you're wrong on it all. If you're wrong on the fall, you're wrong on all things everywhere. Now, here we have the vital and most important lesson of how we became totally depraved sinners. Now, this is known also as the doctrine. Now, listen, this is very careful. This is very important. This is known as the doctrine of original sin. Original sin. Where did sin originate? Where did sin originate? The doctrine of original sin. In Adam, all have sinned. Sin entered in to him and to us when he rebelled against God. Now, it's sad but true in our day. This fundamental truth of original sin and total depravity is not being taught in most churches today, and it is rather denied. It's denied. Now, I'm not making this up. You look at most church, their covenant or their creed or whatever it is, they do not believe in original sin or the imputation of sin through Adam's disobedience. But it's fundamental. It's the fundamental, one of the fundamental truths of the gospel. Ruin in Adam, redemption in Christ, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Those three R's, remember? The three R's. They go together. They go together. You can't have one of them missing. Now, in Adam, all sinned. He stood as a representative man. And when he stood, we stood. We were in him, in his loins. When Adam rebelled and sinned against God, that was me in him sinning against God. You see, we're the guilty ones. Think about this. I've never read in Scripture, Adam's sin is so much mine that it really is mine. We never read in Scripture one time to pray this way, Lord, forgive me for Adam's sin. We don't read that, do we? You see, we read oftentimes, Lord, forgive me for my sin, my transgression, my iniquity. You see, what he really did, that's what I did. I was in his loins. He represented me. What he did, we did. You say, well, I don't like that arrangement. You better, because exactly the same way we're ruined is exactly the same way we're raised in Christ. You see, what he did was charged to us. I like that arrangement. I like this other arrangement too, because that's what God has determined. Now, a lot of people ask the question, well, could have God prevented a fall? Absolutely. Absolutely, he could have. But he did not. Why? Ask him. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in his sight. The Lord caused, you remember God said to Adam, in the day that you eat, didn't say if you do, in the day that you do eat, did God know he'd sin? Absolutely. How do we know that? The Lord Jesus Christ stood as the surety of the everlasting covenant as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before Adam ever was created. You see, the fall of Adam didn't sneak up on God. It wasn't a surprise to him, and then he thought, oh, now I've got to find some way of fixing this. No, it was all in the eternal purpose and plan of God Almighty. Adam's fall, Adam's sin, and it did so, he did so to the glory of God, that God might magnify his mercy, magnify his truth. Now, what Adam did, we did. Now, I use this homely example to try to wrap our puny mind around what Adam did, we did. My mother immigrated to this country from Europe, from Holland, in 1948. She came to this country in 1948. I wasn't born until 1952. Now, what she did, I did. Where she came, that's where I came. I was in her. Now, that's a homely illustration to try to help us to understand what Adam did, we did. Where he went, when he went out of the garden, we went out with him. God kicked us out in him. We have all sinned in Adam. Now, what is the result of sin? Well, look at the next line. Wherefore, if by one man sin entered into the world, and the result of sin is what? Death. Death. The wages of sin is death. Death by sin. So death passed upon all men. Death by sin. The only reason any person gets sick or he dies is because of sin. Our body is full of sin. You see, sin is not so much what we do, it's what we are. What we are. This body is nothing but sin. That's all it is. Total depravity. There is none righteous, no, not one. The result of original sin, the sin of Adam, was death. Not only physical death. Adam didn't physically die immediately when he sinned against God, but he did die immediately, spiritually, he died, and he was separated from God. Adam was 930 years old, I believe, when he died. But not only was physical death pronounced upon Adam and us, but also, and most importantly, spiritual death and separation and guilt by sin in Adam passed upon all men, or was charged unto all of us. And now the third thing we see in verse 12, by one man's disobedience, sin entered into this world. Secondly, death as a result of sinned. Now, if I were not a sinner, if there was perfection in this flesh, I would never grow old. I would never get sick. My eyesight would always be perfect. My hearing would always be perfect. My hair would not fall out. I would not turn gray. I would not be wrinkled, stooped, and old. You see, just the very fact that we grow old and this body is decaying, what does that say to us? This flesh is nothing but sin. That's all it is, sin. And one day, we'll take this body of flesh and we'll put it back to the dust where it came from. And then one day, in the resurrection, we'll have a perfect body, a resurrected body, like unto His glorious body, that's not even capable of sin and cannot sin. A body just like His. Now, the third lesson, it says here, for that all have sinned. As I pointed out, you see the marginal reference there on the number four. In whom all have sinned. All have sinned. Now, sin is charged to our account. Sin is charged to our account. Now, the argument and the question among those who hate God and hate the gospel of grace, and those who deny original sin, they would ask the question, well, is God going to send me to hell for Adam's sin or my sin? Now, what's the answer to that question? You see, His sin's mine. It's my sin that's going to damn me. It's my unbelief that's going to damn me. Now, is sin charged to our account? And judgment of sin is reckoned unto us? What do we deserve? Judgment. That's all that sin deserves is judgment. And the guilt of sin has been imputed, reckoned, and charged to you. So what's man's state by nature? Guilty. The only way we are made justified in God's sight is to be found in Christ. He is our justification. He is our sanctification. Now, along with this, not only are we born in sin, we have a fallen, evil, inherent nature of sin that is imparted to us. Now, I know you raised your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You wanted your children to be right and to do right. But now, I know you never taught your child to lie, do you? You don't teach children to lie, do you? You have to beat it into them to tell the truth. Why is it their nature to lie and to act up and to rebel? Why is it? They have a fallen, ruined nature that they inherited from their father and his father and his father and his father all the way back to Adam's ruin. We all descended from that one man. Now, unless you believe that we came from an ape, I guess you have no problem with this thing of sin being charged to your account. Someone said this, it is much, much easier to say that we descended from apes and then say, look how far we have progressed, than to say, we have sinned against God and we've come short of the glory of God and then truly say, look how far we have fallen. See, that's why the evolutionist says, well, look how much progress we have made. He hasn't made any progress at all. It's all downhill. We've all sinned against God. We're all born with a fallen, evil nature that is imparted to us. Now, horses beget horses. A horse has a nature of a horse. He doesn't have a nature of a cow. He has a nature of a horse. And sinners only beget sinners. My two boys and my one daughter, they all have the same evil nature that their daddy has. That's the only thing I gave them was sin. That sin nature. It's imparted to us and it is implanted within us. It is a wicked nature of rebellion against God that can do nothing but sin. That's all it can do. This flesh is not capable of producing one righteous, holy deed. I know men, all these hurricanes going on, people down in Houston, people in Florida, and they all talk about the people doing good things toward men. Now, I'm all for that. I'm all for helping one another, giving to one another. But now, in reality, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The only one who truly does anything good and righteous, only, totally, solely, is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, in the standard, in the realm of absolute holiness. Now, down here, we, wiggling maggots and worms, we can help other worms, and we can help them along and do good deeds. And I'm not against that. But don't ever count that as righteousness before God, because it's nothing but wickedness in the sight of God. In the eyes of men, what's a good thing? In the eyes of God, does it count for anything? No. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. The best righteousness we have, the best deeds you could muster up, God says is what? Filthy rags in His sight. So this is our problem. This is our problem. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men in whom all have sinned. We've all sinned against God. Now, this is what Paul is describing over here in Romans chapter 3, where he says over here in verse 9, we have before proof, Jews and Gentiles, you see verse 9, that they're all under sin. All under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none understanding. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. Not in the sense that God is good. No, not one. Not one. Not the first one. Not the first one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, as I pointed out, verse 13, you see that parenthesis on the word for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Before the law was given, before the law magnified our rebellion and sin against God, after Adam's sin, death has reigned from Adam to the giving of the law. We know that from reading the record of Scripture. You remember the obituary chapter? Genesis chapter 5? We call that the obituary chapter. And so-and-so lived, and he died. And so-and-so lived, and he died. And so-and-so lived, and he died. Why did they all die? Even though many of them lived many hundreds of years, yet they all died. Why did they die? Death as a result of sin. Before the law was given, sin reigned from Adam unto Moses. Now we'll look at verse 13 down to verse 17 next time, and then we'll see the comparison of, and it keeps using not as, so also, and much more. Much more. By one man's disobedience, all have sinned, even so by the obedience of another shall many be made righteous. Okay, well that's a good start on that. I intended to actually get down to verse 17, but as you can see, we'll have to save that for next time. Okay.